Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
While I was down there, I took the vision of our church for 2015. And I taught 5 sermons down there that had to do with what on earth are you doing? What on earth are you doing? Now, when you're in a Baptist church, and I want you to understand that I'm willing for all of this to go on the internet and for everybody to hear what I'm saying, because praise God for the Southern Baptist Church and what it did in my life growing up and introduced me to Jesus, and it was great. It was a great time while we were there, and there's no but to that. That's just the way it is. I'm very grateful for them and all that they have done. That church, Rocky Ledge Baptist Church, just so you know why our church has such a connection to them, for the first 2 years of Christian Ministries' existence, they sent us a monthly check supporting what was going on here, and we're grateful for them and all that they have done. So while I was there, they were sharing with me some of what had been going on. And I wanted to share some of that with you, because as I was teaching, what on earth are you doing? I had to talk about some subjects that I know some of them may have kind of went, And I didn't go off the deep end. I was teaching and sharing and encouraging them. But the idea that in our vision this year, Genesis is real clear about this, chapter 2, verse 5, there was no man to cultivate the soil. God recognized that. And in 2:15, he placed man in the garden to tend, to watch over the garden. And we are here for that reason, here on earth, to tend and to watch what God has placed here. And so with that, getting them to come to that understanding was really easy. They agreed with that because it's right out of Scripture. There's nothing that they had any disagreement on. But when I started talking about vision, and I listened to Josh's messages on Wednesday and Sunday, and I want to thank you. You did a great job delivering the word and build an ark. I listened to those. I listened to that a couple of times in the last few days. And build an ark, build an ark. It's real important that's what we do. And then we've got to be real careful about the spirit of deception in our church. And so if you weren't here for these 2 sermons, as I wasn't, I have already picked them up and listened to them. I encourage you, pick up last Wednesday and Sunday and get a hold of that. But while I was there, I was talking about this, and I noticed that he said it, I believe in both sermons, he talked about Proverbs, and without a vision, the people perish. I mean, I've said that 100 times. He made reference to, if you've heard pastor speak twice, you've heard him say that. I guess that's where I'm at. I'm a vision guy. I like to talk about where we're going. Well, here's the problem that Rocky Ledge has had. They've lost all their leadership, except for the pastor, praise God. He's still there, wonderful man of God. Well, here's what didn't happen. They didn't leave because anybody's disgruntled or mad. That one of them moved to be closer to family because it's a retirement area. And the other one, bless his heart, a faithful servant of God, Bob Batherly, who was a big visionary for that church, for this, he passed away here a few months ago. And so their 2 deacons now are not there. So they've moved some other leadership up, and the younger ones had to step up. And they were thrilled that I came in, and the pastor said 3 different times after hearing this, we now have our vision for the church. We've got to get to work. We've got to get to work. And over the next few weeks, he kept saying, you're going to hear this more and more and more. And I'm thinking, we're impacting the kingdom of God in a powerful way, what God's doing right here at Christian Ministries. And I thought that was real important that I shared with you. But while I was talking all week, I didn't have this word per se in my notes, but I said it every sermon, and I kept falling back on it, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit revealing something that was a real truth for them. And as that was a truth for them and their time and where they were going, kind of rebuilding, in essence, a vision for their church, rebuilding the leadership, getting things going again, I told them the one thing that this church has to get a hold of, and it kept being said without it even being in my notes, was one word, and that word was agreement. I was talking about how our church started. And you know, I realized something, that it was real easy when it was Michelle and I and the girls to be in agreement. It's just real easy when it's just us. I mean, that's it. And if we don't get an agreement, then the church is going to split. That would be a bad thing. Church split because we're not in agreement. I mean, we had been working on years getting our home into agreement in the way we were raising our kids, the way we were handling our finances, the way our marriage was. See, agreement was everything for us. So to start a church, as the vision was laid on Michelle and I's heart, we got hooked up with that vision and we agreed. And here's what we found. Everybody that came to the church for a long time, we would sit down and we would talk vision. Here's where we're going. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what God's laid on my heart. Here's what I see out of the word as the way church should function. And we would try the best that we could to bring them in line with what God had laid on our hearts and them share that vision, not in any way, shape, or form come into disagreement with it. Because there were several that came for a couple, 3 weeks, and I would say something, and right then, boom, I don't agree with that. And that's the last time we saw them. Now, that's happened a lot over the last several years. Relationships is how we started the church. And let me just tell you, you won't have a relationship with anybody unless you can find something you agree on. Relationships start a lot on Facebook. In today's world, will you be my friend? And see, when they accept you, you have came into agreement. Right then. You can't even be a friend with somebody on Facebook unless you agree. Now, what I do hear a lot, I'm going to defriend them. That means that you came in disagreement in some area. And I just, as you think about this, you can't have anything in life until you can find common ground and agreement takes place. When it comes to other people, and that's why sometimes for some people, and has been me in the past, that I just would dream about going to live on a deserted island all by myself with my bow and arrow and plenty of animals. I mean, that'd be fine with me. I need a knife. If can't find one, I'll try to figure out how to make one out of a rock. I don't know. But I'm going to, you see, you can't buy something. You can't sell something unless you agree. I've tried to sell something that nobody else agreed on the price. And it's never worked. Never. I mean, I just can't. They don't agree on the price. Or if we came to an agreement on the price, then they would want something else done to it before I would sell it. We can't agree. So then we back out of the deal and see you. Have a good day. I have called people and said, would you accept this price? I'd like to buy that. And they'll say, I'm offended that you even asked that. I guess that means we're not in agreement. And so then we weren't able to move forward. I mean, you can't go to the grocery store and fill your cart up unless you agree to pay the price that the grocery store is selling that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Agreement is a big deal that we don't think a lot about. You know, you can't go out and eat with anyone at any restaurant unless you can come into agreement. And there are times that I have said, we're just going home. If nobody's going to agree on where we're going, now, then we can come into agreement. But don't you love, I mean, going to the restaurant, you ask your wife, where would you like to eat? Oh, I don't care anywhere. I'm just hungry. Well, and then you pull in and you're like, well, I didn't really want that. Anywhere else is fine. So, okay, here's where I'm going to go. Well, I don't want that. Okay, you know all the things I don't want, and that's what you keep picking. No, I don't. You said anywhere. So, I mean, has anybody, you don't have to raise your hands. You can't go eat unless you come to agreement. Now, it doesn't mean that you were in total agreement, but one had to compromise, right? I mean, one had to give a little bit. But in actuality, that compromise became agreement. And you're going to ruin your whole afternoon if when you sit down to a place, all right, that's fine, and you sit down and say, boy, I really wish we would have went somewhere else. And that's all you talk about the whole time, and the other person said that's where they wanted to go. You can find real quick that, yeah, you came to agreement, but you've let everybody know you didn't really, and you're just going to cause more and more harm. Young people, mom and dad say something, and you don't agree. and you run to your room or you go to your room and you slam the door. Well, I came into agreement. We didn't go. I didn't go. Aren't you happy now? I didn't go. I don't know if any of you young people have ever tried that. I don't suggest it. Because what you're saying is I was forced into agreement, and forced agreement is still disagreement and will still separate you on an outcome. I mean, you can't have friends, you can't have business associates, you can't have anything in life unless you can find middle ground and come to an agreement. See, you can't function really to any level of influence in life unless you get people that will agree with you. You can't. You just can't do it. Churches, and this is what God just really spoke to me heavy the last 5 days that I was in revival. Churches are splitting right and left because they can't agree. Now, there are some churches splitting on what they can't agree based on the word, and there are some people splitting hairs on what they agree based on opinion, and there's a difference. There's a difference. The devil is real good. Turn to Genesis chapter 11. The devil's real good at taking what God has done and meant to help and then using something that God has done or a law that God has set up and try to pervert it to mess God's people up. Let me just tell you something we were going over this weekend as we were studying separate from the five sessions. But let's read chapter 11 of Genesis. Verse 1, at one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." I want you to see something here. They begin in verse 3, they begin saying to each other. Verse 4, then they said. You know what I'm not reading here is one person said. It doesn't say one person said, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire," and then everybody agreed. It was they were all saying the same thing. They were all saying the same thing. That's a really big deal to me. Come, let's build. Let's do. Let's make. Let's let that. They were all saying the same words. They all spoke the same language, it says in verse 1. And then what it says, and they used the same words. Well, wouldn't that have been fine just to say the same language? No, because you can say, you can have the same language, but be saying different words. So you can have the same language, but you're saying something different. So just speaking the same language don't do it. It's saying the same words. Now, here's what happened. Verse 5. The Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing," verse 6, "nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them." Nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. What made that statement so big? Because they that spoke the same language were all saying the same thing. What is that? Agreement. They were in agreement. And God himself knew that agreement is a real powerful deal that he set up. And it can be used in the exact opposite of what he intended for it to be used for. Just like sexual sin. So there are so many things that the devil has perverted, and it can still be used for fun, enjoyment. The problem is it is not going to turn out good. But in marriage, one man, one woman, God created that for a great thing. But the devil takes what God created and perverts it. And he did this same thing with agreement. God said, they're all doing the same thing. And see, there's something that's, nothing is impossible. Nothing that they set out to do will be impossible for them. So verse 7, let's go down. God says, let's go down. Let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Who would be let? I mean, who would be let's? The Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. Let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. That's why the city is called Babel, which is very similar to a Hebrew word called confusion, because that's where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. Now I read this and I think, okay, what is this for us? This is a big deal for us. It's a big deal. The reason why the church has grown here at Christian Ministries over the last several years is because we've came into agreement. But if you want to halt anything that is going forward and going to be built and going to be done, then you just come into disagreement and you watch real quick. Now, well, who's to blame for that? Us. Us. Agreement is a big deal. It's a big deal. Well, I don't agree. All right, I understand that. And when you don't agree with something, what do you do? That's what we want to talk about tonight, because that happens. That does happen. The same language, the same words, they were all sharing the vision. And what I want you to see is it hadn't even happened and they were all doing it. They were all in agreement before the tower was built. They were all in agreement before anything happened. Before anything's going to take this church to the next level, there's got to be agreement. There's got to be agreement. If agreement doesn't happen, then you're not going to see anything go to the next level. And God needed to stop the agreement because their agreement was against him. So there are times it needs to be stopped. When is that? When it comes against God. There's agreement that needs to be stopped. And a vision needs to be stopped if it's coming against God. Agreement needs to be stopped. There are times it needs to take place. I understand that when it's coming against him. And so that's what he came in and said, we got to take care of this. This can't happen. This can't happen. And so he stopped and halted what was going on. I think it's really important. You can look at the bricks being used. They had a vision that was all about them. There was stone available, but they were using bricks. Stone was what God had made, so we're going to do it ourselves. We're just going to make bricks. This great city for ourselves, we'll become famous. Well, what does Satan do? When God's people come into agreement, Satan tries to use the same tactic that God stopped the evil with. He wants to use the same tactic to stop the good. And it works because agreement is something God set up. See, he gets people to be in confusion and he stops people from saying the same words as to what's going to be done and how we're going to move things to the next level. And he has another plan and he says, well, this would be a better way to do it. And it goes against what the leadership or what God has impressed upon people that are leading and had given the vision to. He scatters God's people from accomplishing what they could have had if they would have stayed in agreement. Are y'all getting this? You want to stop what God's doing, just get in disagreement. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. Well, what's he talking about? If you'll come into agreement, there is some real power there that I don't think the church gets a hold of. And I think this church has seen it happen, and we're going to see it happen again. Yeah, amen. Yes. Amos 3:3. I love this. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? You can't even walk down a road with somebody you don't agree with. You're going to back up. I don't agree with them. I don't agree with the way they're talking. So you're going to back. You may walk the same one, but you're going to be in a different place. You have to be in agreement with God before you can be saved. Before you can have salvation and eternal life, you got to come into agreement with God. Before you can have the blessings that God has outlined in Scripture, you got to agree with how to get them. There's so many things here. In building relationships, you have to come into agreement. And that has to be agreed upon before you even start it. You know, even if there's disagreement, you have to agree that you're going to come to a conclusion on how to get rid of the disagreement. If two people disagree, the only way you're going to move that is for both of you to agree that you're going to move it. See, one says, well, here's the way I see it. Here's one says, here's the way I see it. Well, who's going to, both of you are going to have to agree that you're going to come to agreement. And if one says, I'm not ever going to agree, then there's no reason to even talk. If both don't agree, we're going to come to agreement. Come on, any of you that's married know exactly what I'm talking about. You gotta agree. You gotta agree before you're gonna date someone. You gotta agree to meet them. Well, we're friends on Facebook, so we're gonna date. You gotta agree to meet. You have a problem with somebody, you gotta agree to meet. You gotta agree there's a problem. You've gotta agree that both parties wanna resolve the disagreement. You gotta agree. Are you seeing where anything that's going to move forward, there has to be agreement at every level? Let's just look. What does agreement mean? Here's the first definition I'll give you tonight. It means harmony or accordance in opinion or feeling. I like that. Harmony or accordance in opinion or feeling. So we got to get on the same page with our opinions and our feelings if we're going to be in total agreement. Number two. For agreement, a negotiated arrangement between parties as to a course of action. You negotiate an arrangement between the parties as to the course of action. The other thing that agreement says is the absence of incompatibility between two things or two people. It means we get rid of the incompatibility. Well, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, why has this got to be talked about tonight? Because church, we've got to be in agreement here. And if there's anything you're not agreeing with, then you got to get it fixed. Well, who are you to say that? I'm the person who God gave the vision to. Now, I'm just telling you, now you can agree with that or not. That's the way I see it. Paul, people who didn't agree with Paul separated. Barnabas separated from Paul. You can read scripture. Does that mean Barnabas and Paul? No, they just had a disagreement. But they didn't go together anymore. And you can still be effective in the kingdom of God when you disagree with somebody. So I don't want to go for a second and say, well, if you don't agree, you're all going to hell. That's not at all what. See, that's not at all what I'm getting. I'm just talking about to move forward in a vision, you've got to have agreement. Now, a disclaimer. Obviously, you're not going to always be able to agree with everybody at every level. I understand that. So I'm not saying that, okay, we need to just go around and straddle fences here. I agree with everybody, and then we become a seeker-friendly church. That's not what I'm saying. That's not at all what I'm getting at. See, if you're taking the other side of the fence, then someone who has obviously said they're going to be on this side, then there are going to be consequences to you being on different pages. If one says this, what's the consequences? One's either going to be frustrated because they didn't get it their way, or they're going to come into agreement and say, let's do this for a while. And then we'll see the fruit of whether or not that was a good decision or bad decision. And you're going to have to give some things time. In friendships, you're not going to always agree with your friends on every topic and every subject. And if you continue to bring those up, you won't be friends very long. If all you do is you talk about things you don't agree on. See, there is a consequence to disagreement. There is a consequence. And we can either walk in that or not, but the consequence, when you're trying to build something and grow a vision, you've got to know the consequence of disagreement means you can't go any further until that's taken care of. Here's why I'm talking about this. If marriages are going to grow here at CMC, we got to make sure that our marriages are coming to an agreement with what they're going to do in their marriage. Marriages aren't going to grow here. If we've got a home and the way we're spending our money in the home is not going to come into an agreement with everybody in there, the wife goes and spends every dollar that comes in and we don't pay the electric bill, or vice versa, the guy goes and buys this and this and this and goes hunting every other weekend. I just throw myself under the bus. See, I mean, and that's all you do. Then before long, you're going to be going, wait, we got to come back in here. We're both on two different, and there's got to be some agreement. If you continually walk in disagreement in your marriage, there will be marriage difficulties. I promise you. I've never had anybody come into my office and say, we got to talk. We got some marriage difficulties, but we agree on everything. Never heard that. We agree on everything. Now, what they're always going to talk to me about is what they're in disagreement on, and it causes trouble. Are you? I mean, it's just so simple, but we don't talk about it a lot. If an agreement's not reached in the marriage, then they'll finally be in agreement. Let me give you a personal testimony. My wife and I never agreed on anything for a long time. And so we were to the point of divorce several times. I don't like that word. God says he hates it. He doesn't hate the divorcee, he hates divorce. And so as I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, all right, I'm ready to get a divorce. But she never agreed with me. And then so I'd be like, okay, I'm going to work. And then she'd come and she'd be like, I'm ready for a divorce. Well, I don't agree. We can't even agree on divorce. That's a good thing in that situation. See, there's good in both, but you got to understand which side of the coin you've got to take as your, what is the consequences of that? If you're disagreeing with one man and one man getting married, I think that's a good thing to disagree. So I'm not saying, but you know that we'll never build the relationship between a man and a man if everybody would disagree with it. Problem is now we've got some people agreeing with that in society. And now we're all pulling our hair out, what's going on? Well, we can't agree in the church, so how are we ever going to bring moral values and grow them in our society when the church can't even agree? Frustrated about this, frustrated about that. Well, you, the church isn't growing. In most places across this country, the church is not growing. The same 30 to 50 member churches are 30 to 50 member churches, and there's no growing except for the kids that they're having. And they're staying at the same level, and they look exactly the same as they did 50 years ago. Our society doesn't look the same as it did 50 years ago. We need the church being more impactful. And the way you get the church more impactful is you get a bunch of people in agreement, and when they come into agreement, we can build something. But if you just walk in disagreement all the time, ain't nothing going to be built. Well, we got to get this fixed. I agree. If there's something needs fixed, we got to get it fixed because we're going to go to the next level. If you're going to have friends, you'll have to come to the place where you can agree. If you're going to continue growing and reaching people here at CMC, I as pastor and you as people here and I as a person here and you as someone who takes care of the cleaning of the church or you play an instrument on stage or you are sitting here in the congregation, whatever we're doing, we've got to come to a place where we agree so that we can then come to a place where someone else can come into agreement and we take this place, this community, this area by storm. That comes through agreement. Agreement, a negotiated arrangement. You know, when you're continually living in disagreement, let me just tell you what happens. Life becomes miserable. It just does. It does for pastors of churches that there's disagreement going on. Life becomes miserable. When you're in a church that you're disagreeing with what's going on, life will become miserable for you. If that becomes all that you're dwelling on and thinking about. I talk about this a lot when it comes to speaking. I like to hear, amen, good, wow. I told the people at Pro Tem this. I said, let's practice. Everybody on the count of three say wow. One, two, three, wow. And it was like everybody at the same time. It was all uniform and it was good. But then when I talked about this, the next two services, they were affirming. In a way I'd never heard a Baptist church in this area affirm because they were wanting to agree with something so they could build something. We got to come to the place where we want to agree. And that's what they did. See, in life, it's the same thing. You can't enjoy those you criticize. You can't. It's just, it's not to say that you overlook sin or that you don't correct those that are going to hurt you or hurt someone else. I'm not saying that, but you can't enjoy them. You can't enjoy someone who's sitting over here and that's the only thing that you, until you come into agreement on that one topic, it's going to be frustrating. Life is frustrating. It's miserable when you're in disagreement. I know that in a marriage, when my wife and I are in disagreement, it's miserable. I hope it is for her too. So one of us will get past our misery, or maybe both of us. You know, you can only enjoy those you affirm. That's why I like you saying wow and yeah, and that's good, and amen, and whatever. I mean, I like that. Why do I like it? Because that tells me you're enjoying the word going into you, and that you enjoy that God has spoken it to me to give. See, there's something about that. You can only enjoy those you affirm. Think about this. You're going to affirm your plumber before you call and ask him to come fix your pipes. You already in your mind say, I know he can do that. And so you affirm him. We affirm people all day, every day of our life. How do you affirm them? You agree with them. You call them. I need you to do this, or I need this. Or when you're at a store and you have someone, or you have a waitress or waiter and you give them a tip, you're affirming. You're affirming. And when you come into agreement with people, everybody is blessed because of it. Affirmation is a big deal. It's a big deal. Verbally praising what another does or what another is worth in your mind. I was privileged this week, and I'm just sharing some testimony of what God laid on my heart as I was down at this revival. But I went to a men's prayer breakfast on Saturday morning, and there was 11 churches, just to tell you the kind of showing up that happens, 11 churches and 30-some people. So now think about that. So what we did is we affirmed the 11 churches, because they're 11 churches and 30-some people, that's not a lot represented from, it's one or two leaders from every church. That's what it was. Some of them had three, depending on their size. So one, two, or three leaders from these churches are going in, and they're all excited about what's going on, but they had been planted a vision, and here's what they did. They started praying for people, and I loved it. They had a guy stand up there, and they took prayer requests for about 20 minutes, and they took every prayer request. So we heard about every disease and affliction in every church of, not one praise, but I heard all these. Now, am I putting it down? Kind of. But hear this. When it got to the end of it, everybody that had wrote it down, and then they said, okay, now everybody praying. For the next hour, we prayed, and everybody prayed for the people. And here's what I went back and talked to the church about after the prayer breakfast. I said, I'm all about praying for people, and I'm not here to put down what God has led these people to do. That's your vision, and so I'm 100% for it if you guys are, and that's what they're very effective with. And so here's what I said, though. I said, how many people called those people and said, we were praying for you this morning? Why is that so important? It's very, very important, because you're coming into agreement for someone's healing. You're coming into agreement for someone's family. You're coming into agreement for somebody's heartache. Whatever it is that we were praying for, they need to know we're in agreement with them to see God move on their behalf. And so that night, everybody in the church that was there that had been prayed for that morning, I stood up there and I looked over and I said, Betty, I want you to know we prayed for you and your family at the loss of your husband. And those people there, man, they're just so grateful. That's what I told her, for your husband and all that he had put together, all that he had done. I mean, I bragged on her and her family, because he was the one that had started that years ago, that breakfast. And he was the deacon that had passed away in the church. And I just blessed her heart with all that they were dealing with, but we prayed earnestly for you. You know, when she left, she's a little gal, so I can't, but she was like this. I watched her when she left that service. Why? Because God's people stood in agreement with her. So that's what they're going to talk about. They were telling me at the next meeting, I'm going to share that with everybody there, and we're going to make sure everybody's called. So once again, I thought, praise the Lord. Let's get this in agreement. Next year, there'll be 67 people there. But they need to grow that, and right now it's shrinking. More churches are coming, but less people. What's the problem? We don't have agreement. We don't have agreement. Here at CMC, I want agreement. I want affirmation, not just for me, but for the vision. And for the people who are doing something. I think this is too good a sermon to not get everybody to shoot for this. I think everybody here ought to be shooting for this in all of your life. So here's the next part, and I don't know, what time is it? Y'all look at your clocks and tell me. I didn't know if that was right. Good, I still got time. Here we go. What do you do when you can't come to agreement? What do you do? And I wanted to give you just four things real quick. Because if you haven't done these things, this will be something that can move you to the place of agreement so we can move the vision forward. Here's what they are. First one, step back and pray about it. Step back and pray about it. Pray for God to show you an understanding of the side that you are in disagreement with. Pray that God would show you. I did this in my marriage 100 times, but I had it reversed. I would pray, God, show her how right I am. And I don't know if it was word for word, but that's what I was trying to get across. I might have been a little more trying to get his attention by being nice, but that was what I was saying. God, if you just show her how right I am. And you know, nothing changed as long as I prayed that prayer. When things started changing was when I said, God, show me how she's seeing this so I can fix what I can fix. Pray. Pray. Second, go to the Word. Go to the Word. You know, not everything will be something that you're going to find specifically in Scripture, but you'll find the principle of it in Scripture. Well, I just don't agree with them painting those walls brown. I just don't agree with that. And so you stay on disagreement on a topic that in the end only caused dissension and didn't let anything grow. There are some things that you have to say, this is the way I see it scripturally, and I'm not moving. Not moving. And I have done that in this church, and there has been people that have left because I said, this is the way I see it scripturally, and I'm not moving. This is the way this church operates, and I'm not moving. And I'm not going anywhere. I know that 7 to 10 years, I mean 10 years, 11 years is a long time for a pastor to stay in a church. I got that. But I'm not moving. God called me here. This is where I'm going to be. And so what happens is there can be disagreement, but unless I'm in sin, and that's a whole other topic, but unless I'm in sin, I'm not moving. See, in the end, if it's a deal breaker, then somebody's got to move. And I'm just talking in church. But if it's against the Word, Matthew 18, 15 talks real clear on what you need to do. If it's against the Word, which means anything against the Word would be sin. If it's sin, your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Let me just read you these next five words because they're really big. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Between you and him alone. So if somebody sinned against you, you telling somebody else ain't the ticket. They've sinned against you, you go to him alone. You and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you that every change may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him to be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector, which if you know anything about Gentiles and tax collectors in that day, they were avoided. They weren't somebody that you associated with. Now, I've never seen it come to that, but oftentimes I've never seen this implemented when I knew somebody sinned against somebody. I've seen oftentimes them go talk to everybody else. But that goes totally against the Word. Don't find yourself against the Word. You won't build anything. And there's no agreement there. You got to agree on the Word to get the blessing of the Word. Number three, if it's a big enough topic to remove, what could have had, let me say it like this. Is this a big enough topic to remove what you could have had if you hadn't made it such a big deal? Is this a big enough topic to you to remove what could have had? what could have happened? What could have been built if you hadn't came into disagreement? Because you can only control what you do. You'll never control what somebody else can do. You'll never ever move someone else's will. You won't do it. You can only move your opinion. But you can't remove your God-given conviction. You got to see what I'm saying. If this is a sin issue and it's against the word, you stand firm. And you stand firm in this church. And if it has to do with me, then you call Tim Brooks and say, he needs removed from that pulpit. I want you to do that. If I'm in a sin issue that would remove me from what God has called me to do, I need to be removed. And Tim Brooks, in one call, Ashley, you step down. I have submitted to his leadership, and I will step down like that. Here's the thing. If it's not that big a deal, then are you going to continue to make it that big a deal? And this is in any area of life. See, because you can only control what you do. If you've already been in the Word and have been given what you believe is the truth based on the Word, stand firm and let it be a course changer for your life. Because there are some things that, that's why there's a bunch of different denominations. That's why there's a bunch of different churches in this area that all believe in a born-again experience, but one just says this is the way baptism is. One says this is the way it is. One says this is the kind of worship we're going to have. One says this is the kind of worship we're going to have. One says this. That if it becomes a game changer for you, then I understand, and I'm not just saying get out of here, but don't cause disruption. Don't cause disagreement, because we can't grow. We can't build. And we got to go forward with what God has called. The fourth thing that you can do, and this is not a sin issue, but it's going to that person respectfully. If you go negatively and say you're wrong and you're an idiot, you're probably not going to accomplish anything. Let me just say, if you go and don't say you're wrong and you're an idiot, but that's still what they hear, then you still didn't accomplish anything. See, you won't be received. Present the disagreement with boldness and love. And if you can give scripture to back it up, then do so. But you don't do any of this until you have prayed earnestly. And you haven't prayed, God, change their opinion. You've prayed, how can I change? The other thing is you recognize that I'm in the Word, and I don't see this as that the color of the wall is not going to be something. I'm going to come into so much disagreement that I'm going to halt what's going on. And maybe it's, I just can't handle the way worship is, so I need to find another place to go worship. Here's what you do. After you go with them in boldness and love, then you zip, and you wait for their response. That's where we kind of mess that up sometimes. We go in boldness and love, and then we just keep nailing the coffin. Just keep nailing and keep nailing. It's got enough nails. You got your point across. Zip. And listen in love. Listen, pray for them. And then see, did this get taken care of? And you can find real quick if it's brought up again, it didn't get taken care of. If it keeps being brought up in your home, in your marriage, something that you're in disagreement on, it keeps being brought up, know this, it wasn't taken care of. Give it some time. Tell them you're going to give it time for both of you guys to pray about it and then revisit. Church, if we're going to whip the devil, we got to resist him. And one of his biggest tools in church is causing disagreement. One of his biggest tools in marriages is causing disagreement. And he's being very successful. But if we'll resist him, in James it says he'll flee. I believe Josh quoted that verse also. See, we have to resist always being in disagreement. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't need to be in disagreement at times, because there are times you may need to be. But the thing is it going to halt what God's called to grow? And it will. It'll halt the level of growth that could have taken place if the church had been in agreement. It'll halt the ability for your marriage to go to the next level until you get into agreement. It will. So move on getting in agreement. Keep in mind, if disagreement is causing problems with your God-given vision from going forward, then go where you can allow God's vision that he's placed on your heart to go somewhere. And the reason I'm saying that is because that's why this church is here. I was in disagreement with the churches in this area, and I was in agreement with the church in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So we were ready to move to Hot Springs, Arkansas, because that's where we were agreement, our agreement was. And know this, we're going to be involved with a church and a body of believers where we agree, or I won't be here. We're going to come into agreement, or I'll go somewhere where I can. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to agree with everything that happens. You got to hear me. But I'll come into agreement, even if I don't agree. I'll agree that I disagree, and then I'll immediately say, okay, now I don't disagree anymore, and you'll never hear another word from me on it. I need to be quiet once that I say, okay, I agree. Just like going out to eat. Okay, I agree. Now, I would have rather had Mexican, but I understand everybody else wants Chinese. So we're sitting at the Chinese restaurant, and the rest of the day, all I say, boy, I'd rather have Mexican. Oh, this is horrible today, and on and on and on. And then you've caused disruption with the joy that could have had in your whole day. And it's happening right in church. It's happening right in marriages. Church, know this. Agreeing to disagree is an option. But if you don't come into agreement and you leave that option on the table permanently, the vision stops. So I have came to the point where I'm not going to agree to disagree. I'm going to do everything I can to come into agreement. Because agreeing to disagree is still disagreement. And if I have to work 5-10 years on finding everything I can to agree with my wife, we're going to keep working on it. We're going to keep working on it. And here at church, if you've committed to a vision, keep working on it. 7 years is a cycle, and I understand every 7 years, things start operating in our brain that we need to change, we need to do something. That's why the local pastors at churches that are hired by the congregation, they come in, and in 5 to 7 years, they're ready for them to go. Somebody's in disagreement, and they vote them out. It happens all the time. I'd rather preach agreement and us do everything we can to get these things so we can go to the next level. I would love to say, if you agree with me, stand, but I'm just going to say stand. So. Father, today I thank you for your word, and Lord, I thank you for what you revealed in Genesis. Lord, I praise you right now for this church and the call that's on its life and what's happening. And Lord, I pray that right now that disagreement would be removed. And I pray that the way it's removed is it would be agreement that we come into. Lord, I pray that anything that would be sin would be revealed and come out. And Lord, that we would be able to move to the next level. Lord, that you're not going to stop anything. And the way it would come out is that one brother goes to another brother or one sister goes to another sister. But Lord, it stays between them. And Lord, that gossip and building sides and getting things in disagreement, as you halted the Tower of Babel, I thank you that you did that. But right now, the devil won't use that same method to halt what you've called into existence. And Lord, I praise you right now for the outcome and ask your blessing on everything that was said and done. Lord, that tonight that my heart was revealed, but more than that, your heart was revealed. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless y'all. Have a great evening.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.